it yet. Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show, brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
It's another Saturday morning with Greg Soderbergh and Byron Dale. Welcome to Wealth Money Radio, August 24th, 2019. So did you know that all money is created as loans and uncreated when it's repaid? Well, if you listen to Wealth Money Radio, you probably know that. Yet it's almost unbelievable that 99.999% of Americans have no idea about how money is created, put into circulation, how it affects their life, how badly they are being deceived, or that there is a superior way of putting money into circulation that would make life better for everyone. And that's what we're here to spread the word about. It's not about who's doing it, but it's rather about what's being done. It's about the process, understanding the process of how money creation and circulation works now, how it's worked in the past, and how it can work in the future. You can help by calling and joining the discussion. Again, the number is 347-884-9499. Facebookers are welcome. Wealth Money Radio is the opportunity for Facebook users to voice and actually talk about the things they write about. So the number again is 347-884-9499. Good morning, Byron.
Good morning, Greg, and we got Rule on, so let's bring him on here first, and then we'll get into whatever other.
Okay.
Oh, good morning, Rule. How are you this morning?
Oh, not too bad. How are you guys doing this morning?
That's good.
Yeah? Well, great.
So what about President Trump and the G7? What do you think about that, Rule?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I just spent an hour on the website looking up their topics and they're playing for everybody. You know, it's interesting that they, the elite, get to plan our livelihood, our economic way of life, and not just ours, but the discussion of the day is Facebook Libra, and boy, we can't have any competition in this economic monetary policy for some reason. You know, to have competition is a ill on society.
Well, what I don't understand is Facebook, I've never seen any really clear reason for why they need Libra. You know, and I never really hear that, whether it's, years ago it was Let's. They called them Let's. And then there was, Time dollars or something like that. And then there's all kinds of these, you know, I call them alternate currencies or alternate money. But I've never seen in any of them where they specifically say why it's necessary. And on Wealth Money Radio, the only alternate currency we need is one that we don't have to be in debt for. And that's the root of the money problem. But, you know, I don't hear Facebook. And you'd think Facebook, because everybody thinks they're so wonderful and you know, all-knowing and all-powerful and everything, whatever, that they would be able to state specifically so the average person could understand why Facebook needs Libra. What do you think of that, Rule?
Well, I did see a little bit about it this morning. The founders of the Libra are saying that for economic inequality is the talk of the day. Economic inequality, and that's why we need Libra. And the world leaders are saying, well, we need to tax them to death, you know. If they're going to be able to be a part of this thing, we need to capitalize on them. So, again, let's go ahead and hurt the inequality is the way I see it.
Well, when I looked at what they thought about inequality is they refer to it, they call certain people unbanked people. That is, people that don't have bank accounts, checking accounts, access to bank stuff. And so Libra supposedly is supposed to provide equality by allowing the unbanked to have a medium of exchange. But you see, that really doesn't get down to the root of the problem. Facebook isn't saying it by talking about inequality or equality. I mean, can you imagine what Wealth Money Radio would be like if we never talked about debt money, that the money coming into circulation, the debt, we're forced to borrow it. I mean, and we just talked about other things like equality and honest money and all these other terms that everybody beats around the bush. I mean, this is the problem. Nobody gets down to it.
Well, you guys have got me confused all over heck, because they're talking about having an alternate money, and for the last 36 years, I've been told that you can't do anything unless you go through the banks. It's impossible to move money if you don't go through the banks.
Yeah, but you're not Facebook.
Well, I'll bet you it's the same thing with Facebook. I don't know, but I imagine they have to pay taxes, don't they? And don't they pay their help?
But there's certain...
You can't go spend any of that money to buy anything, because if it can't go through the bank, I guarantee that the stores won't take it.
Right. Well, you know, and that's what
I've had a lot of experience in this, in new currency, and I guarantee you... That's an absolutely thing. You go through banks or you don't have currency.
Right. But that's what Facebook is trying to do, get all those people that for some reason or another can't get banks or don't have a bank so that they can buy Facebook stuff on Facebook. And they say that too. And so, you know,
okay,
maybe
I understand that, but how's that money put into circulation? So I can get some of it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have a bank for 20, 30 years, and by golly, I still had to go through banks to buy or sell anything.
Well, I think Facebook said in some of the reading I was doing that some people will be able to get it for some of it for free to get them started out.
Well, they could send me $1 million of that free, and I'd see what I could do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but maybe you're not one of those. Maybe you don't qualify, you know. This is all about... like everything as usual, is about certain qualifications for certain people, for certain things, for certain special reasons. And this is the kind of world we live in now. It's not about liberty and justice for all, meaning fairness for all and equality for all and promoting the general welfare. That means doing things that are good for everybody. That's not the world we live in. It's the one we're supposed to be living in, at least in America, but it's not the one we live in now. And
I don't think we ever did live in it.
Well, we were supposed to try to form a more perfect union, which is an ongoing process. And I think they tried in the beginning because they wrote a thing called the United States Constitution, how it's supposed to work.
Whoa,
of course,
that Constitution wasn't even dry. The ink wasn't dry before Hamilton got him in where we had to have a bank to have currency.
Right. And this show is about building roads and bridges without taxing and borrowing. So this is a good time, I guess, what Byron's talking about is they took a detour. Hamilton's on a detour, and we need to go back in the fork of the road and take the right road.
Well, that would make a lot of sense. Now, I honestly, I've studied this. In fact, I've been trying to clean out my papers, and I only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bookshelves full of shelves, and I only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 others all full of those kind of papers about the bank and about the money and everything, and then one big box, or two big boxes, I guess, all full of this, all this kind of stuff, and I don't find anything about this kind of stuff. I mean, I have researched money and credit and everything from every angle I could think of, and I got all this stuff full of this stuff. And yet I never find anything about creating money without debt.
Well, I sometimes wonder, you know, when you talk to people about creating the numbers and spending them into circulation as a payment, it's like, you know, it's like it's so simple and makes so much sense that they just can't deal with it, that somehow, and you know, we've had people tell us that if we weren't in debt, things wouldn't be worth anything, you know. If I didn't owe for my house.
Oh yeah, if I had a guy tell me that flat out that if you didn't owe for it, it wouldn't be worth anything. So I asked the guy. I said, okay, now I got a car, and you mean my car would be worth more if I owed on it rather than if I had it, I didn't owe on it. And it hit him, and he got mad. He got nasty. Because he thought I was trying to make a fool out of him, and I wasn't trying to make a fool out of him. I just asked him a question. It was, you know, because if you got to have debt to have anything, then why do you want to get out of debt? And how could your car be worth more if you owed on it than if you didn't owe on it?
Mm-hmm. I always think it's worth more when it's paid for and I can drive it without a monthly payment. That's what I think of it, but.
Well, not only that, if you sold it, you'd get more for it because you'd get to keep the money you got instead of giving it to the bank to pay for it before you could get the rest of the money. You'd have to pay for the bank, pay off your loan first before you could get any of the rest of the money. I see.
You know,
I see. Oh crud! I can't even think of his name right now. But Nori's on the show, so let's go here see what Nori has to say this morning. Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning, Nori. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Byron. How are you doing? See you later.
Oh, I'm kicking along okay.
I'm still putting lots of pressure on my congressman to introduce the American Transportation Act in the House of Representatives. I'm doing the same with my two senators, too, and I'm talking to as many people as I can about the debt money system and about putting lots of pressure on Congress to get the American Transportation Act passed.
And if
that's
right
good
here,
to show you if we had a 10 or 20 or 30 million people doing that, look how easy it'd be to get this thing solved.
Yeah, look how easy it would be. That thing would sail through Congress so fast. And And we said that if you guys won't pass the American Transportation Act, we're going to get third-party candidates in there, and they'll do it. And you see how fast that bill would pass in Congress if they want to keep their jobs badly enough.
Apparently, that's what. But most people, they don't want to talk about it. In fact, I've done a lot of research on that even right lately, and man, it's hard to find anybody that really, even back when we started this country, that actually, and I've learned more and more and watching and paying attention, that it's obviously most all of our founding fathers were British.
Yeah.
And therefore, they didn't have a clue how the money system worked. Because,
nope.
I mean, everybody in this country, I've only run into one or two. And I have went around a lot of times and step into a store or something where it's not real busy, so I'm not causing a lot of hang up. And I ask him if they've got any Federal Reserve notes. And I have only found one person in all that time that knew what I was talking about.
Yep.
and one of them, one time I went there, and we coming home from a meeting, and I actually stopped to fill up some gas, and it was cold as heck, so I run in there to warm up and pay for it while the other guy that was with me, he filled it up. And I was standing there, and then I went over and said, oh, I meant to ask you this when I first got in here, but will you take Federal Reserve notes for payment?
Yeah.
And she didn't have a clue what I was talking about. She said, what?
Yeah.
Well, what is it? I said, well, it's a note on a bank. Oh,
yeah.
I don't think I want to take that. So before I could stop her, she called up her boss. And the boss wanted to know, she asked the boss if they could take Federal Reserve notes for money for payment. She says, what are them? And she turned to me again, and I said, well, what are they? Well, they're a non-redeemable note on a private bank. And the woman he called could hear me. She didn't have to repeat it. She said, we ain't taking nothing like that, and hung up. And this is about 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how she happened to catch her up at that time of day, but anyway.
Yeah.
And so the girl, she didn't know, and so she finally said, well, could you show me one? And so I showed her one, and of course then she knew what it was, and she was mad for a second. Then she got over it, and she said, you know, there must be more to this than just you. And so we explained the money to her, and we got through it all, and she kind of saw it. And then she told me she had just got a degree in economics.
There you go.
Yeah.
A degree in economics and passed the grade and everything and did not know what a Federal Reserve note was.
Mm-hmm.
And now people want to know why that on Facebook and other places, I have a hard time grasping why they can tell me how much the economists know about it and how right they are when they're clearly saying things that aren't true. Because if the government created the money and spent it, a lot of people say it does, then why did they need to raise the debt ceiling?
Yeah.
Why are they in debt? I mean, if you could create money and spend it, why would you be in debt? How do you get in debt by spending money? You know, I think we talked a little bit about
debt.
That. Yeah.
Well, you can if you spend too much money on a credit card and then you don't, and then the month comes and you can't pay it. Well, yeah, you can get you can get into debt by spending.
Oh, that's
about the only way I can think right now offhand.
God damn it.
So there's another part to the equation of spending money, how you get in trouble, but nobody ever talks about that. So you're saying if you borrow it in the first place, and then if you can't pay it back, or you borrow more than you can pay back, then you can get in trouble.
So it's pissing me off.
What's that, Nari?
I'm waiting for someone to take me to the Gold Nugget flea market in Lambertville, and I've been I've been waiting for her for well over an hour, and she still isn't here yet.
Well, they may not show up then. That's been my experience.
Maybe you better give them a call, Nori. Give them a call and see if they're coming.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a call and really chew their ear off and find out why they're taking so long to get here.
Okay.
Okay, we'll talk to you later then.
In.
I hope you have a nice day, Byron, Greg.
I
hope
we'll try.
You
thank
too.
You, Nori.
Bye-bye.
So, Rule, we were talking about, you know, people having a hard time with money just being spent in the circulation as a payment with no debt, and that they think sometimes that things aren't worth anything unless you owe for them. And to me, if you take that a step further, what they're also kind of saying is that as a person, we have no worth unless we're obligated. And, you know, if we're obligated, constantly obligated to perform, to me, it's hard for us to be free. So thinking about that, what do you think about being obligated on an ongoing basis and actually being forced to be obligated? What do you think about that, Rule?
Well, it's interesting, you bring that up, because in the last couple of days, leading up to this G7 World Economic Summit, you know, I heard Trump and everybody say, well, the economy is doing good. The consumers are spending. And so our title, we're just called consumers, you know, go out and spend, and that's all we're, in their eyes, that's all we're worth, I guess, you know, because
I really am interested in this current currency you're talking about. Do you know how to get some of it? Is there any way you can get some of it?
I don't think we can yet. I think it's still in the making. As far as the Libra is still in the making. They're still right now. They're fighting the United States Treasury Department that met with world leaders at the G7 summit to discuss the so-called dangers of a new currency. And so it's up to the
Fed. What the heck are they talking about? I'm willing to bet you that if you got some and you went downtown, you couldn't find a single store that would take it. Or go into the bank, a single bank, and see if you could deposit it.
Well, that's the other thing about that whole currency thing, is even with Libra, Let's, Bitcoin, I don't care which one you pick, it does not enable us to pay our current bank-denominated debts. And so, therefore, the debt that we have, and we've talked about it, grows with time. Okay, and all the consequences of that are going to continue. The alternate currencies simply let you buy some stuff, okay? But it doesn't let you pay your bank-denominated obligations. So what are we going to do about that problem? Because that is the problem. Even if Libra enables some unbanked people to engage in some commerce, we're still have a debt money system. We still have the consequences of a debt money system. And as the debt grows, the spread between the money supply and your cost of living grows wider and wider. And it makes it harder for more and more people to make ends meet. What are we going to do, even if Facebook has some Libras out there? What are we going to do about this
problem?
Why
don't we just talk about some facts once? Because I played around with this, and one time I made a legal note, and I paid for a pickup with a note payable on a horse. And the company took it, and they put it in the bank, and the bank took it. And then it hit the Federal Reserve, and they said, "Ooh, you can't do that. No, 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 no. Wait a minute. Everybody else is willing to do it." And see, this is just exactly what's going to happen with these guys with this. Somebody will take that currency. If they're going to give it away free, I'm sure they're going to take it. And they're going to find out that they take it, and you get something from somebody, and he takes a deposit in the bank, you'll find out it ain't any good.
Mm-hmm.
It may take a while. The first store might. They might. But if you do enough of that, then somebody's got to put some money in the bank, because I guarantee you every one of them's got some debt.
Yep.
And every one of them's got to pay some interest.
And
when that hits the Federal Reserve, I guarantee you that whole system is going to shut down, and there ain't a thing they can do about it, no matter how big they think they are now.
And this reminds me of a point that we've made before, and maybe you want to talk about a little bit more, Byron, is that the reason they squeal when someone tries to do that is because if I spend money to you with no debt, I have no control over you. You're free to do what you want to do. But if I lend you the money, now I have control. So you want to talk a little bit about that? Because that's what upsets these folks, right, Byron?
Well, sure, because if everybody had money without debt, well, they wouldn't have any power over you. But as Greg said, it's so obvious. If you owe them, they have power over you, and you better do what they want you to do, or you might find out your credit rating is gone. And without a credit rating, you can't hardly buy anything, because they got to check and see whether how much if it's good for it. And you do, and sometimes you get lied to, and then sometimes you have to check it out, and you get lied to there, and then you accidentally run into somebody that person knows and said, "Oh, they don't pay."
Mm-hmm.
They tell you they're going to pay their rent and other things, but when it comes right down to it, they don't.
So when,
and then the particular people I'm talking about, they finally had to get the sheriff to kick the renter out because they wouldn't pay. But they was going to pay all the time, always. And it's amazing how all this works when you really get through with it. You got to go through the bank one way or the other because, hey, I'm going to have a bill. I'm going to have to, if you made me kind of money, I'm going to have to deposit that in the bank sooner or later. I don't know where these people are coming from. I have no concept what the heck they're thinking about and obviously had no experience because they're going to start their own money just for their own company and start selling all their product just for their money. And where are they going to buy the real raw product again to sell it again without going through the banks? These are the questions I want answered. Have you got any of that rules? Have you got any of them questions or them answers in your research?
No, I haven't. But that's the so-called capitalism we're living in. You know, they call it capitalism because we're a sovereign free people, supposedly, or whatever. We could be a republic. But, you know, the whole word capitalism, because we get to go out and capitalize, but yet we can't own anything, but that's capitalism.
Explain to me what capitalism means. Because
well,
there's a big thing going on Facebook with that.
The only thing I can think of is just a free market to be able to basically do and buy and whatever you want. But you can't. It's an illusion.
That ain't what the dictionary says it is. The dictionary says it's where the people own all the products.
Yeah. Well, some people own them all.
That's the way it's supposed to be, but how can a person own anything if everything is owed? You can't.
Yeah.
Well, you can't, because sooner or later, you have to pay with what they call legal tender, unless you're a bank. And now if you're a bank, then you don't have to use legal tender. And that's what I wanted to talk about, and we'll try to work it out. I found it, but I couldn't figure out how to get it down to Greg in a way he could read it or to you, Rule. But I'll keep working on it, and I'll figure it out sometime this week, and I'll get it to you. But there, the Bank of England made it very, very clear that the banks are the only ones that can make their promise to pay be the payment at the same time. And we had a guy on Facebook that said, well, that was a good thing. And he could see how that would, and I called it a fraud. And he said, no, it can't be a fraud. It's got to be a good thing. So I said to him, well, okay, then I suppose here one of these days you're going to send me a promise to pay a horse. But you don't have a horse. You ain't going to send it. So what, in a day or two I'll have a horse? Just because your promise to pay is the payment? I mean, it's so simple if you look at it in those terms that, you know, that it's total nonsense. And if your promise to pay is a payment and you're the only one in the world that can do that, or at least in England, and they do it in this country too, but we don't talk about it like they did there on the guy talking about the bank. He was a banker in England. Well, how in this country where we're all supposed to be equal under the law, how could one group have total and the only ability to have their promise to pay be the payment?
Well, and you were talking a little bit ago about some folks that got their property taken away from them, and they're promising that they were going to pay it, you know. They're promising to pay it, but that wasn't good enough for them. Their promise to pay, as a matter of fact, their property should have been paid for or their debt paid for just by promising that they were going to pay for it. But there again, it gets back to it only works for some people, and this gets back to Facebook trying to bring equality to the money system, and they're missing the boat entirely. They don't even have a clue as to what equality means or what equality means in our current money system. So how come, you're right, how come promise to pay supposedly is payment, according to one Facebooker. But when those folks promised to pay for their
property... No, it wasn't a Facebooker. It was an actual speech by the guy working for the bank in England.
Oh, I wonder why he... Okay, well, I wonder why he had that
the
attitude
face,
about
the Facebooker, all he did was send this speech to me on Facebook.
Okay, well, I'm just talking about equality here regardless. Is how come the people got their property taken away when they promised they were going to pay for it?
Well, because they're not a bank. They don't have that power. Only the bank has that power.
So, you know, this is the equality factor, and Facebook, as big as they are and as resourceful as they are, should be addressing the root issue of equality in our money system. And it's the things we're talking about. Only a few people get to do certain things, and it's almost like the court system. They get to do whatever they want to do at any point in time as long as it works for them. And we don't have equality, but we want equality, and we simply have created a legislative proposal, because in America they used to do things through the legislative process, so we're kind of copying what they used to do there. But anyway, we simply create the numbers and spend them into circulation, just like the banks create the numbers and loan them to you, and then you write checks and spend those numbers into circulation, but you owe for them. This is different. The United States Treasury just creates the numbers and spends them to build these roads and bridges and to pay you or your friend or your neighbor for working on the road, because he should get paid for his time, energy, labor, ideas, or whatever. And the money would go into circulation with no debt to anyone. And the money would only go into circulation when there was an increase in production and something done that we all benefit from, these roads and bridges, and that the work got done and it got paid for. And that's equality.
Don't you know that would cause terrible inflation?
Well, it wouldn't, because as long as the increase in money supply, and you know, the Federal Reserve says, you know, as long as you increase the money supply with the increase in production, there is no inflation. However, they forgot to say only if you create the money as a debt-free earned payment. But you can increase production all you want with an increase in the money supply as a loan, and you're still going to have price inflation because you're going to add interest to the debt, and that has to go into the cost of living. But they are half right to make it totally right.
Really saying is, it's not increasing the money supply that causes inflation, but actually it's increasing the debt that causes the inflation.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, if you're saying that makes sense to me, well, then if I borrowed $100 and then I had to pay 10% interest, now when that bill come due, I'd have to pay $110. But if they only put 100 in circulation, where would I get the 10 from?
Yep. Well, if it's all created as a loan, somebody else is going to have to borrow at least $10, and then you capture it from them. Or you could refinance your loan, and that'd give you a little more time to figure out.
Okay, and if I refinance my loan, then basically I have to pay interest on 100% of the loan then, not just 10% of it. Because when you refinance the loan, you go in and borrow the money to pay the debt, pay what you owe.
Yeah.
And then if you've done that, well, now I've borrowed enough money, so now all my principal is charging interest at a right rate, and rather than just the 10%, because now I pay 10% on or more on a lot more, because now I borrowed more money to pay that particular bill.
Yep.
How all this goes on, and the people don't ever seem to grasp what's really happening.
Yep. And all you got out of it really is you bought yourself some more time to try to figure out how you're going to get out of that mess. And that's what we're doing nationally, you know, because no money's created debt-free. It's all created as interest-bearing debt, and the government borrows money from that the banks create. And interest bill starts growing on it, and so that's why they got to raise the debt ceiling. But boy, they got that good credit rating in America, you know, the faith and credit of the United States, and the ability of the American people to work themselves to death, if necessary, to pay back that credit.
Well, Well, you know, as I understand it, the only money that I understand is legal tender is Federal Reserve notes. Is that what you understand, Federal Reserve notes and coins?
Well, that's the only thing that I've seen the words on. I haven't seen them on. I don't think they put a legal tender on the coins. They do put it on the Fed notes. But
okay, so now I one time sold a whole bunch of cattle. So I thought, well, I just for kicks, I'd just go in there and I'd ask the bank to give me the cash. And they said, oh, my gosh, we don't have that kind of cash. We can't give you that. You just have to, then we'll just give you credit for it. No, you can't. Because what I was going to do, I had another, you know, I had a FHA, no, not FHA, PCA loan. So I was going to just go up and pay that. And I thought, well, just for kicks, I'd just go get the cash and go pay them the cash. And, man, the bank got all excited at all because they didn't have any kind of that, nowhere near that kind of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, wait a minute. If that's the case, then why was my check good?
Yeah, well, it's because it depends who you are. Like I said before. It kind of depends who you are.
No, it doesn't. If it wouldn't make any difference who I was, they didn't have enough cash on hand to cash the check.
Mm-hmm.
So what really is the money then?
Well, money is should be a medium of exchange, but we shouldn't, you know, just like what we produce, you know. The things that we produce, we can trade amongst ourselves, but and that's what money
should represent. Well, shouldn't the only thing you could trade be the old legal tender?
I don't know if that's the way the law has to be written, I guess.
But there's no law written in it any other way.
Well, I don't know what necessarily sanctifies, like, legal tender. You know,
well, the law does. Legal tender makes it very, very clear. The only thing in legal tender is coins and Fed Reserve notes.
Right. You don't have to take checks. But you are supposed to have to take Fed notes, but, of course, you can't in all cases because you can't buy a brand new car.
No, they wouldn't give me the Fed Reserve notes, so I couldn't possibly use them for payment.
Right.
So what I had to do was get credit from the bank, who is not legal tender, which they had plenty of because they didn't have to worry about that. They got the credit on the spot.
Right. And the thing is about legal.
Stop and think about what that really, really means and what kind of a situation we really have in America, that the people who do not create legal tender have the total power over the money system.
But
not the people
about
who have a legal tender, that the people get to create the money as a number.
Well, let's take it a step further. And if we think legal tender or the term legal tender is so all-powerful, that let me tell you why it's not all powerful and it's not legal tender and you can't use it for all debts, public and private. Just try to go buy a brand new car with Federal Reserve notes. They won't let you do it. Try to go in and buy stocks and bonds with Federal Reserve notes. They won't let you do it. But it says right on them, hey, they're legal tender and they're good to pay all debts, public and private. And it's not true. It doesn't even work that way when they're legal tender. So there's just another example of inconsistency in the whole thing.
What do you got to say about this rule?
Well, there's so much said in the last 15 minutes, but people need to just. I had a conversation with a student. He works at Walmart and he's studying to. He's going to be an engineer for a big firm in Colorado. And
okay.
I had this conversation with him about money, and I said, you know, isn't it something? All your life, you're conditioned and taught verbally and every way to just be a worker and not think about money until later on in life. And I said, I asked the student, I said, why do you think you have never been told about money first and then work later? I said, do you suppose that maybe they don't want you to catch on and be able to position yourself to capitalize and make wise choices? And he said he'd never heard that before. I said, well, think about it. You carry a piece of paper in your pocket that's an evidence of a debt that says note on it. And I said, you've never, ever probably pulled that out and considered that. And I said, you think that's a coincidence? I said, and that's everybody. You know, you carry something 24/7 in your pocket. You can't spend or you can't do anything without it costing you. And money is the least thing we know about. Yet we spend it every day. It should be the most important thing we understand as we go about in our daily routine of life. And yet it's kept so, under, maybe not undercover, but it's right in front of your face. You want to make change, but you're trying to make change with people that carry this thing with no clue in their pocket. That's how they've kept the people in the darkness for so long. It's hidden in plain sight. And
it shows you how little they pay attention, because if the legal tender is the Federal Reserve notes, and they work all day long handling that, and, of course, it's getting less and less, because hardly if you stand around and watch them go through the checkout counters, now, there's less and less of them actually pay with cash and or Federal Reserve notes, and most of them just pay with a credit card, never thinking about it. And now they've got it. You don't even do that. When my wife goes to Sam's, she just scans the stuff, and I see they do that in Target, too. They just scan it, and you walk up. When you get to the door, you just hold up your cell phone, your smartphone, and they scan your phone, and bingo, that's it. That's all there is to it. And now the new renters, we have a duplex. We live on one side, rent the other side out. And nowadays they're paying the rent by just sending the money to you through the computer.
Electronic.
Yeah, it's just electronic. Yeah. They click a button, or I don't know what they do, because I don't do it. I don't try to keep up on it, because it's just so amazing that you never have to see the money or anything, not write no checks, no nothing. You just got to hook up with the right bank. And if once you get hooked up with that right bank, and sometimes it takes a while before you get that done, but once you're done, bingo, there your money is.
Pretty soon we won't even have to talk to each other or anything. We can just do everything electronically. And they're talking about, every once in a while the buzzword comes up, digital currency. Woo! Like that's some sort of new concept. Well, a digit is a number, like 1, 2, 3, 4, Google. And that's what we use for money now is digital currency. The banking industry creates the numbers when you get a loan, and they're just digits, and they put those digits, whatever the amount is, in your checking account. And if you want Federal Reserve notes or cash, you write a check for that debt against your checking account, and they hand you a Federal Reserve
note.
Only
if you do it for a very small amount.
Yeah, but the fact is that the Federal Reserve notes have digits on them too. It might be a 1, a 5, a 10, a 20, a 50, or a 100. And so, the people that talk about digital currency, you talk about awareness of what people are doing. It's clear to me when they talk about the digital currency being some new, wonderful idea, and they don't even know that's what we use now for money, and we've been using it for years. And, last week we talked about how you get in trouble spending money, and Rule sent me a thing on a pastor, and I want Rule to talk a little bit about it. But this pastor's idea, I think it was something about to get wealthy, the main thing you have to do is spend to get wealthy. Can you talk about that a little bit, Rule?
Yeah, for people out there that are listening, you probably heard this pastor, Jeffers. He's one of the superstars of Christian TV entertainment, or whatever you want to call it anymore, but he's a Baptist minister out of Texas. And he's got the secrets now to becoming wealth. Just so you know, Byron, all of our education, your education, Greg's education, my education, that stuff. Now a guy comes along who spent, who knows, maybe a few hours here and there. He discovered a secret that we haven't discovered, I guess. And that
is. Oh man, I'm anxious to hear that.
Yeah, he's got the secret. But you have to pay for it, you know, of course. You have to use Federal Reserve notes to buy his secret. And also, he's got a 5-part series or 8-part series on DVD, but it's called The Secret to Wealth. And he said the whole secret is tied up in the book of Ecclesiastes by Solomon. And he said you need to spend. You don't work for your wealth and you don't earn your wealth. You spend your way to become wealthy in Solomon's economy. And that's one of the top secrets. And then he goes on to say that we shouldn't be in debt at all. It's an unbiblical thing to be in debt. And he doesn't realize it. Can't escape that with a debt-based system.
Yeah,
so
what an idiot.
He's really onto something that, boy, I'll tell you what, is really enlightening. And I found it just truly just amazing that his secrets are so secret, you know. Anyway. So.
Yeah. He forgot that we couldn't spend it until we borrow it first. And there was did you send me that thing about a guy on Facebook said the 6 things you could do with money? And he didn't even realize there was one thing that he had to do first before he could do any of those things, and that was he had to borrow the money first. And it's just amazing how, you know, you get back to the cars and the racetrack out at the races, you know. All the cars are going around the racetrack, round and round, they're racing, going around, it's all happening and everything. And it'd be like nobody knows how the race cars get to the racetrack. And nobody knows how the money gets to the racetrack. Well, except for a few people. But isn't it amazing? Like
very
we talked
few.
Earlier. Yeah, we use this thing every day. We talk about it. Man, we do more talk about it. The general public complains and bitches about money. And yet they never ask themselves the question, well, what's the nature of it? Where does it come from? It blows me away. And I hope that people who have not called into Wealth Money Radio will listen to some of our shows that are archived and at least listen and get educated, because this is the only place you're going to get the kind of information that you get. I don't know why that is. Others just don't know about what we talk about, or if they're afraid to talk about it, or they're too busy.
Most of them,
maybe
just they're afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to even
think
about it.
They might have more important things to do too. They might have to go get a pizza or go to Walmart or something.
But Greg, you got to keep in mind. You just remember, Pastor Jeffers now has a secret. So you know. Yeah, and you just have to pay for it with Federal Reserve notes.
Is he the guy that's a lot of times on Fox News?
Yes. Yep.
Or is he somebody else?
No, that's him.
The same guy. He's the same guy.
Come again?
He's the same person that's
on
Fox
News. I didn't hear that.
News, yeah. He's on Fox News. Yeah.
I didn't get that yet. I'm sorry.
He's the same person?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm going to have to contact him, I guess.
I'm glad you're
going to.
How
much did he charge for all this knowledge?
I didn't even consider the price because it's too ridiculous.
Well, I find sometimes they're kind of fun to play with. Maybe you get into, if you can figure out some way to make contact with them, which is very, 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 very hard to do, that you can ever get contact with them in the first place. And probably if you found out you tried to and tried to do it, you'd find out you wouldn't get any contact with him at all. It'd be someplace else. It'd just run the business, if I may use that word.
Well, you know what I find just strikingly appalling, and it's literally appalling, is a pastor of such stature can be on TV, Fox News, all this stuff, with all this knowledge, and go through it. I looked at his series, and he goes through all these scriptures condemning usury and debt, and how can they be so blind? The fact that it's inescapable unless we go to a wealth money system.
Well, you know,
talk about how silly they are. There was a guy on the TV. I don't remember if it was yesterday or today or what, but they was talking about China, and Trump just raised some more. I can't think of the word, but you know where they got to pay more to send product over here.
Yes.
And they was talking about
yes.
China, and he said, "Well, there's no question." And this is an economist, a well-known economist, and he said, "There's no question that China had been taking advantage of us, and none of the presidents in the last three presidents or four have ever begun to even try to do anything about it. They just, well, we'll just let it slide." And then he said, "And we really don't need China because there's a lot of other places you could get cheap labor." Now that goes to show me the guy don't have a brain in his head, because why would having cheap labor be an important thing to the businesses? Because if the cheaper the labor, the less you can buy. They never once say, "Well, wait a minute, maybe we ought to have a little quality here between how people get paid." Nobody thinks there's anything wrong with the guys at the top getting millions a month or a year for payment, but the average guy at the bottom gets at the most $20,000 to $30,000 in a year. But they never seem to think it's anything wrong for them big shots at the top to get several million, sometimes as high as 20, 30, 200 million. But they never seem to think there's a little problem there. And it would be so problem. They're always wanting to tax away from the rich. But if they really wanted to solve the problems, they would pass a bill that said we have there's a certain amount you have, you know, the bottom which you got to have at least $14 or $15 an hour. But they don't say anything. Well, it's okay to have $240 million an hour or a year, whatever you want to do it. But they never think, well, we should take that money away from the rich, but they never say, well, why don't we just have them share the money with the workers? In other words, you shouldn't be able to have more than six times as much as always pays employee. And if you want to raise, then you got to raise everybody else's salary too, instead of the opposite way. I now, as a CEO, I have the power to create my own wage. I can have any wage I want. All my buddies will go along with it because I'll do the same for them. But they never stop and think, well, wait a minute, it would be a lot better for our company if we raised the debt of the wages of the younger or smaller employees. Then they would be able to buy more of our product and we could sell more of our product. Then we could raise our wages and raise theirs what too, and it would all be better for everybody. And it seems strange that nobody can think of that simple little concept that would really solve a lot of problems. And I'm not saying it's going to problem the root of the problem. I'm not saying that because we all know what's going to solve the root of the problem. But there's some problems in between. You could also make a lot better by doing a few simple things that nobody will address. Then if we could get them thinking about the good of everyone, maybe then we could get them thinking about, well, it'd be better if we didn't have to borrow to have money.
Yeah, you know, you're saying they look around for cheap labor. You always hear the term cheap labor, but you never hear the one looking around for cheap management.
Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Maybe we should start looking for cheap government.
Yeah. Well,
we have a lot of greedy government. I don't know about cheap government, but we sure have a heck of a lot of greedy government.
Well, government would be less expensive. As a matter of fact, there'd be less people in government with a wealth money system, because the wealth money system, the people wouldn't have the burdens of debt in their cost of living, and they'd be able to work and provide for themselves. They'd be able to have savings, and we wouldn't need all these taxes for social health programs for people that aren't making it, and then you wouldn't need the excuse that you got to have a bunch of people in Washington to administer those programs. And, you know, when you think about the conversion from debt to wealth, and you really think about it, and you really think about the ripple effect that it would have on so many things, it's almost easier to describe it as things would start going in reverse from where they are now. You know, you, instead of having a deceitful, dishonest, fraudulent environment, you'd have an environment that was more honest, more fair, more open and transparent. You've heard those words, haven't you? And, you know, you'd have a different kind of people. It's going to take a different kind of people even to get there, but once you're there, you're going to have more of those kinds of people, people that care about other people, people that care about treating other people the way they want to be treated. And everything would get so much better. But
well, you know, the thing that I have a trouble understanding is, I understand China is really in trouble with debt, a lot of debt, you know. Well, if they've been robbing us so bad and doing such a good job of it, how come they're so deep in debt?
Yeah. Well, and they're looking for cheap labor too now, I guess, in Laos and Thailand. So I don't know, maybe the world will run out of cheap labor pretty soon. Then what's going to happen? Holy cow.
What do you think? Why do you think that China's in really financial trouble, Drew? What's your comment on that?
I have yet to figure that one out. but I do know. I got a friend from Ethiopia, and he said that even. Hopefully this is within subject here, but he said all the streets are being made by the Chinese and owned by the Chinese over in Ethiopia.
That might be a part of that.
I understand. The last I heard, China is beginning to own more and more countries all around. They're having just like you said, those kind of process where they've come in and taken over by just doing those kind of things. I've heard there's a lot more of that going on than there used to be.
It's because of their Belt and Road Initiative. I've talked about it, maybe last year, but it's called the Belt and Road Initiative, and it's China's idea of creating better, connections between countries through better roads, and these countries borrow the money to create these roads, and they also involve waterways also. But unfortunately, China doesn't understand or doesn't want to understand the idea of monetizing that production as a wealth, not a debt. Of course, in America, we have a little better chance of understanding it because, you know, Congress was to provide post offices and post roads. It's something they were supposed to do. And we've got a treasury that can create numbers just like a bank. But if we're going to be free, the numbers have to be spent into circulation to pay us for something we've earned the payment. And America needs to get off its butt, pass the American Transportation Act, and show the Chinese and the rest of the world how we really do build these roads and bridges.
Well, what we really need is the people to really stop and think about it themselves. And, you know, and when they tell you that, well, but the government creates the money, then they ought to figure out just exactly how they're doing that. Because if they're creating it, then obviously there's a problem with how they're doing it even that way. Because obviously if he was really honestly creating new money, then you wouldn't have to have raise the debt ceiling all the time. And you wouldn't have a hugest debt. And, of course, that's why China is getting deeper and deeper in debt. Because they're spending all this money that they're borrowing. They have a banking system just like ours, patterned after ours. So in order to do all these things on their roads, they also have to raise the debt. And the more you do that, the more in debt you get. And so, see, this is the whole problem, because it just seems like that nobody's willing to even question how our monetary system works. And if it's really working right, how come all these countries are getting deeper and deeper and deeper in debt?
Well,
and with that, I think I hear – go ahead, and then I think I hear the – music coming in the background. Go ahead.
Well, and the other thing, too, is you just hear so many problems out there about money, and it's not because there's too much. It's because they're short. They don't know where they're going to get some more money to do the things they need to do. Happens with the schools, happens with the legislatures, happens with the counties, the cities, the individuals, businesses. And this week, just try to pay attention to whenever there's a discussion about money, ask yourself, is it about too much money? And then we can talk about it next week. Not just on Facebook, but on Wealth Money Radio.
Well, we'll talk, if we can, we'll talk about it on both, because I think we should, because it's another way to get more people interested in our show is to get them to thinking about it in Facebook and have to answer the questions, just like the guy that told me that there were no questions, bank just got to create money and spend it. And so I asked him, well, if you understand all that, then I'd like to know, is there any way they're regulated? Can they only spend money for investments, is what they say, or can they just spend it for anything to buy themselves yachts or whatever? And it's a strange thing because none of them guys will ever answer them questions.
Well, that's what I say. You know,
many times I ask questions on Facebook because I do try to say things, because I found out that in order to answer a question, no matter what it is, you have to put in your mind and gear and think about it. If you just keep talking about it, you don't have to, you know, the people that's listening don't have to put their mind in gear to really think about what you're saying. But if you ask questions, then they have to, because humans are kind of a strange thing and can't answer a question while engaging the mind.
Yeah, well, I just find it a lot easier to talk in live discussions like this than I do on Facebook or emails. And quite frankly, if people actually believe in what they're writing on Facebook and are really sincere about it, they should be able to come on and have a conversation where, I mean, you can get a lot more done in a person-to-person conversation than you can on Facebook or any of that social media.
True, but you can't force them to answer. That's the problem.
No, I can't
I hear the music coming. I want to thank all the listeners, and I also hope that you will tell other friends to listen, because you're hearing things you're not going to hear anyplace else, and it's things that's very important to your life and your children's lives.
Byron and Greg want to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Byron and Greg, thank you for your support.